Come to our last installment of the Jesus Friend Of series, Jesus Friend Of the Sick. It's been a joy for me to work through this series over the last 6 weeks. I talk about Jesus every Sunday, really. At least I hope that's what I'm up here talking about. But to go back to the basics, go back to the elementary of who Jesus spends his time with, we get to know him again in a deeper way, as if for the first time. And I think that continues with this morning's scripture, which has taken place among my favorites as I've worked with this week. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of your word and for the way it invites us in. We pray that your Spirit would join us in this place, that it would fill the space between the words that are spoken and the hearts that would hear, that it would bring your word to life, that it might bring us to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a bizarre question, the question that Jesus asks. You could even call it an insulting question. Scripture says the man had been sick for 38 years. And the Scripture even tells us, is careful to tell us, that Jesus looked at him and he knew he had been there a long time. Think about the prolonged suffering, the cost to his body of being sick for 38 years. Thinking about how this would have affected his spirit, living with an illness that spanned 38 years. Think about how this would have affected the relationship in his life when sickness was something that alienated you from family and friends and community. Think about his daily existence, sitting beside that pool, hoping that today would be the day when it would all go away. Have you ever gone to the doctor when you were sick? And you sit in the waiting room in the doctor's office, miserable, waiting for them to call your name, and the time, 5 minutes, passes like an hour because you feel so terrible. Have you ever been in pain, gone to the doctor hurting, and they call your name, and you think you're about to see the doctor, but really you're just going to the next waiting room.
All right.
To the exam room, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to wait more, and you're going to look through year-old magazines, and you're going to try to occupy your mind, and you look at the doorknob and you're hurting and you're willing the doorknob to turn and for the doctor to come in, and you're banking on the fact that when the doctor comes in, he or she will have something like answers or a solution. Well, imagine being that every day. Imagine being that being your every day. Imagine having exhausted all of your options. Imagine having sat in 50 or 100 of those waiting rooms and never getting the answers. Would you like to be made well? Imagine someone dying of starvation asking if they would like something to eat. Or somebody who's begging for water if they would like a drink. Would you like to be made well? Would you have blamed him if he had met Jesus' question with a, "Well, what do you think?" Pool was called Bethzatha. In Hebrew, that means the house of mercy or the house of grace. And the tradition was that this pool, an angel would come down to this pool and stir up the waters. And the first person who would go into the pool would be healed of whatever it was that was troubling them. So sick people gathered around it and all of the porticos around it, waiting for the waters to move. And when the waters moved, folks would clamor over each other, diving into the water. So imagine desperate folks, sick folks, pushing and shoving and diving. It's like an oncology ward where the chemotherapy only comes every once in a while. And when it comes in limited quantities. It's called the house of mercy or the house of grace. But the thought was that there was only so much grace or mercy to go around, and it only came every now and then, and that there wasn't enough for everyone. And when it came, it was reserved for the people who were well enough to climb over everybody else who was worse off than they were and get themselves into the pool first. In other words, the grace and the mercy in the pool was most inaccessible to the people who needed it the very most. So I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like grace or mercy to me. So maybe it is that the man in our story misunderstood Jesus' question, and that we need to do a little work on that question ourselves. One writer says that the Greek word that's translated well in the translation I read is more closely translated whole. And wholeness, I think that's important because I think wholeness is different from wellness. Wholeness has to do with the kind of completeness in your life, has to do with the healing of things that may have been either broken your body or fragmented your spirit. Because your body can be well and your life not be whole. Because your spirit's broken, because of a fragmented relationship, or because you have a deep sense of inadequacy about yourself, or because that you have this simmering rage at everything that you see happening around you, at this senseless violence that is unleashing tragedy on innocent people's lives. And just the same way, your spirit can be well even though your body's broken. Because there are all kinds of people who are living with limiting, painful conditions who have more peace and courage and determination than the rest of us do. So Jesus is talking about wholeness. He's talking about the reconciliation of body and spirit. He's talking about the just peace that God intends to exist between all living things. He's talking about a kind of healing that is deeper than even the kind of healing we think we need. So it could be that there is a question behind Jesus' question. Jesus' question is, do you want to be made whole? But maybe what he's really asking is, do you really think you or anybody else is going to get whole in this kind of system? With only so much grace and mercy to go around, where sick people are clamoring over each other for what little there is. I was reading an article by a seminary professor at Columbia this week. He made it claim, he made it plain for me. He said, this pool represents a system where there's equal access but not equal opportunity. So anybody can get in, but not everybody can get in. So it could be that Jesus is wondering if this man really thinks he can be whole even if he gets in the water. If he gets in the water and he's healed and he gets up and he leaves behind all those poor souls still in the porticos, sitting there and waiting just like he was. Maybe what Jesus is asking is, do you really think you can be whole when the pool of mercy and grace is that shallow? Do you really think you can be whole when the waters of mercy and grace are only occasionally troubled? When folks are clamoring over each other because instead of abundance, there is scarcity. So notice that Jesus never does what the man asks him to do. Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? And what the man says is, I just need somebody to put me in the water. In other words, he's answering Jesus' question with a question. I don't have anybody to help me get in the water. Could you maybe be the one who helps me get in the water? He's not asking for the system to be changed. He's just asking for Jesus to help the system work for him. And what Jesus essentially says is, no. No. Because Jesus is talking about wholeness. And Jesus did not come to make old systems work more smoothly, but to turn old systems upside down altogether, especially systems that operate from a place of scarcity and exclusion. Think about the people that are on this list that we've been working through and what they have in common. The common thread between all of them is that they are where they are in the culture where they lived because the culture they lived in was built itself on the lie of scarcity. And Jesus comes along, and by his befriending them, he rejects anything that would exclude them, anything that has been created so that there is wellness for some and brokenness for some and wholeness for nobody. So like sinners got told, there's not enough grace and mercy even for you. There's not enough grace and mercy for you to have a seat at God's table. It's not enough. And Jesus comes along and he pushes out a chair for them. Women and children got told, there's not enough power to go around. There's not enough power to go around so that you can have a voice too. And Jesus comes along and he pulls them up on the stage that he has. Foreigners were shut out because there's just not enough here for them too. So Jesus made them part of the story. Poor were exploited and told they deserved to be exploited and that there wasn't just enough to go around, and Jesus came and shined a light right through that lie. And it was said that the sick were sick because they'd fallen out of favor with God, because somewhere, somehow they had screwed up and they deserved what they got, that there wasn't a place for them in the community because of that, because of who they were and what they represented. And Jesus came along and ministered to every blind, paralyzed, bleeding, crippled, any person living with a mental illness that he could find. He did not come to help these folks navigate the system. He came to throw out the system that put them where they were. So this is why on that Palm Sunday so long ago, some folks cheered and other folks plotted.
All right.
And the whole scene tells you what Jesus is about. It's a parade, right? It's a parade, but there's nothing dominant or assertive or powerful about this. It's a donkey and clothes in the road and all kinds of people that didn't matter at all in the place where they lived. And in a few days' time, these people would all gather outside of the home of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and essentially, they would be presented with the same question that Jesus asked the man by the pool. Out this crowd of broken, angry, tired, fed up people. People that have gone round and round believing that might will make right eventually. That there's only so much to go around and we got to protect it. Believing that the way to lift yourself up is by pushing somebody else down. Do you want to be made whole? And Pilate comes out and he says, here is Jesus of Nazareth, and here is Jesus Barabbas. And on one side is the one who came to shatter the systems that you live by, the ones that made you broken and angry and mad and here in the first place. And on the other side is Barabbas, the rebel. He doesn't want to change the system, he just wants to change who's in charge. Do you want to be made whole or do you want to be made well? And the crowd chanted, Barabbas. The crowd said, we have nobody to lift us down into the pool, the shallow one that we are living by. So the answer to Jesus' question isn't all that obvious, is it? Do you want to be made whole? We still can't answer it. Every day is put in front of us. And here we are sick, sick and tired of being sick and tired, sick of suffering, sick of brokenness, sick of violence. But do you want to be made whole? And almost every day we say, there's nobody here to let us down into the pool. Almost every day we shout, give us Barabbas. And God help us, friends. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that reveals the depth of God's love for us is that even though we don't know what to ask for, and even though we keep giving the wrong answer, Jesus insists on giving us a pool of mercy and grace that is deeper and wider than any of us could have asked for or imagined. Even when we don't hear the questions, the opportunity, even if when we ignore the stakes, even when we miss completely the chance at new life that Jesus is extending, even when we are ready to settle for wellness instead of wholeness, the living Christ comes again to us and gives us the answer to the question that we didn't even know to ask. Man in the story didn't even think to ask Jesus. And yet, Jesus says, get up and take your mat and walk.